let's see if we can hear you. What's on your mind?
Okay. I was just thinking about when you mentioned the when you mentioned the lady with Touchstone. I think one of the great things about Supernova, it truly does empower you. It's almost like you found the map, and it gives you a little bit more confidence when you're going through and leading something, an organization. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like, okay, I feel even more confident. I feel confident in what I'm saying, but I feel confident because I have this host of resources behind me that makes me feel even more confident about it. So, there's always somebody right in a conversation.
Is that as a leader or as a financial advisor or both?
I think both because especially as I've been talking about planning, we have a big emphasis on planning right now. We just had our comp plan rolled out last week, and that's why I couldn't connect last week with you. But in talking about planning, and now that I've been doing the planning for 12 weeks really heavily for the last 6 weeks, it's much easier to I won't say argue the point, but it is sort of like arguing the point. Like, okay, you guys can take this and make this the centerpiece of your relationship with your client. It gives you all of your talking points. It's the basis for every conversation you start. And every phone call you have is now easier to transition into a planning engagement. Like that. You can take the conversation now, but you have to do it and get in the habit of doing it. But I probably wouldn't – I know I wouldn't be where I am right now had we not done Supernova, because that becomes – what is the centerpiece? Even if you're just sitting there trying to figure out what do you put in the folders, and it's going to be consistent with each client, but it's going to be customized. Planning is the only thing really that makes sense. You have a framework. So right. We're doing a lot of talking about that, but entering that dialogue, because there are advisors that are very reluctant to do planning, to do formal planning, because we're still, in our branch especially, we're still storytellers, and I mean, you get that. I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, people aren't going to do planning unless they have the skills. Mm-hmm. So when you're a coach, make sure, here's what my suggestion is. When I would teach a product, this is what I discovered. Because you're a salesman, you understand, because you go through it, you get it. I went out once and sold an annuity, all right, and I didn't expect to sell it. And the guy said, yeah, let's do it. Where's the paperwork? And I didn't know how to fill out the paperwork.
I completely understand that.
I had never sold an annuity. I had no idea. Of course, I lost the sale. And it taught me an amazing lesson, which I used from then on in teaching FAs. So when I would teach a product, I would make them fill out the paperwork. I said, okay. And I'd have them, by the way, another great thing is when you have trainees or even your own office, make them be the teacher. Don't you teach it. You already know it. Make just like I do, and we're going to do with Andy. Andy's going to go out and coach the next group, and I'm going to be the teacher. So, so when I would have my trainees, we would go through and learn all the products, and I would say, okay, Andy, this is your next week. You're going to teach these guys how to sell annuities. Well, I don't know how. I said, well, you got all week to learn. Okay. And then he'd come in and have to present annuities to the rest of the trainees. And then somebody else would have the next week and they'd have to do that. But we'd go through and I'd literally say, okay, here's how you fill out the forms on buying an annuity. Let's say the guy wants to buy $10,000 worth of annuities. Actually fill out the form, write in the names. Okay. So when you're saying the guys don't want to do planning, they don't want to do planning because they don't know how to do planning. Not because they don't want to do planning. It's because they don't know how to fill out the forms.
I was just trying to think, who can I leverage? I've got a person I can leverage to teach it, too. So
just think about that. You make them feel like a hero, right? They're the teacher. So you reward them and recognize them for having done their homework and done the extra work to get their CFP or whatever. So instead of you standing up and being the authority figure and then everybody else sitting there going, why do I have to go to this meeting? You are now the coach watching your student teach the class. And then you coach him on, you know, on how to do it. And you might coach him ahead of time and say, okay, what are you thinking about doing? How are you going to do this? Well, you might think about this and you might think about that. So you want to coach him on calling on those people to contribute and do it more, instead of making it a speech, make it more of Socratic learning where you're asking questions. Okay, let's take this part of the planning process. Who knows how to do this part? How would you do that? Okay. So then he turns them into the teachers. Now everybody's engaged because they know they're going to get called on. Or they're going to look like an idiot because they don't know anything. Which is okay because, you know.
Yeah, that's really good because I do have a I have a tendency to deliver more authoritatively on some things like that, you know, especially when I get excited about it.
Right. And we want to pretend we're not the smartest guy in the room. Always.
You ever do you get reports of like the usage rate on because, you know, that's always the crux in the firms. If they don't mandate it, you've got some people that use it and some that don't.
Right. So we've been staying. Our branch in particular is one of the lowest utilization branches in our complex for sure. And we've got a couple of, we're considered an outlying branch, you know, one of the smaller satellite kind of branches. And so what's interesting is you have to wait. It's like, what are we, today's 16th. So you have to wait about 2 weeks after the month end, which you think you wouldn't have to wait in this technology-driven world, but to get the updated numbers for November. And so I single-handedly moved the entire office. You know, if, to give you an idea of how low we were, we just tripled our penetration rate in 1 month. Just off of what I'm doing. And so we all of a sudden had a blip and we're still nowhere close to where we need to be, but that's how low we were. Cause everybody's just been resistant to it. And, so that, I'm hoping the whole, you know, lead by example and continuing to do it is going to, you know, start to pay off, but it's,
well, they,
everybody's
they
thinking about it now.
They don't do it not because they don't want to do it. They do it because they don't understand it. And they don't see why, how it's going to make them any money. Okay. And they don't want to sell life insurance. So they think that they're going to get into products that they don't want to sell because they don't understand those either.
Right.
Okay. I don't do mortgages. I don't do life insurance. Why? Because you don't know how. That's why. And they don't want to learn because they're afraid to make themselves look stupid and have it screw up and mess up the relationship with their client, which is legitimate because in some cases that happens, especially if you do one. I always tell guys, don't do one mortgage. If you're not going to do 10, don't do any.
That's the absolute truth. Yeah.
You got to know what you're doing. It's like 401ks. The last thing in the world you want is one 401k.
Oh gosh. I mean, it's no doubt.
And you should have, you know, and one of the things to do, Derek, is, you know, I used to call it Fort Fargo. Cause I'd go to Fargo and they'd say, when are we going to see our specialist? And I'd say, never.
Exactly.
And they'd say, why? What's wrong? I said, you're Fargo. Okay. Nobody's coming from nice little warm Minneapolis all tucked into their beds and come to Fargo in the middle of the winter, okay?
Yeah.
Unless they're on a snow machine, okay? Snowmobile. So you can just forget it. And they said, well, what should we do? I said, you should become Fort Fargo. That means you have a specialist in each area that lives here. So everybody becomes good at something. That way you don't have to be great at everything. So, Andy, you're the mortgage specialist from now on, because you've done two mortgages. All right. So,
you know what? This is so crazy. The more I've thought about this, and then the more I've learned about the whole process. Now, Rob, does the name Henry Swift? Do you know that name? Do you know Henry Swift? It would have been from years and years ago with Robinson Humphrey.
I don't think so.
I swear the man has used, he was my manager who brought me here to Columbus, but I went through all of his old, you know, files and stuff like that. But he had folders on all of us, you know, and he met with us once a month. He did everything.
Really?
And when you just said that whole Fort Fargo thing, he divided up the office and he made us, every one of us, specialists in a particular area. Mine was mutual funds. One of the other guys was separately managed accounts. Another person that did more of it wasn't as big. I was trying to think of who did the planning. We just had a planning liaison. I guess somebody was sacrificial that came down from Atlanta and talked to us. But, we were all, you know, and we had insurance. We had an annuity specialist. We had everything. But everybody was the specialist. And he would go around the table at the Tuesday morning meeting, and he would say, do we have any updates from mutual funds? Do we have any updates from, you know, annuities? And somebody would say, yeah, the CRC fixed rate specialist XYZ. Syndicate, we had somebody who was a syndicate specialist. We had, so that's what this just reminds me of is when you're saying that.
All right, so this is how far you take it, though. That's a great step. We always had specialists, or we always had we call them coordinators in my office. But what you want to do is say, look, we're not doing any business in this. We're going to each be a specialist, and that person's going to do all the business. Anytime you get a 401k, it's going to Andy. Andy, you got him. Okay. We'll split the business, but you're the genius. And when we need to close a 401k, we're calling you because I'm not going to keep up on it and I suck at it. And we all do because we don't do it, right? You do one 401k, you don't even know the rules. Mm-hmm. And Derek, you're going to be the mortgage specialist because we're not doing any mortgages because we hate mortgages because they always screw them up. But Derek, you've done mortgages and you seem to manage it. So you're going to do all the mortgages for the office. And then we're going to split with you. And then Johnny Smith, you're going to be the guy for annuities or life insurance. You're going to do all the life insurance in the office and we're going to split with you. And whenever we get a case, we want you to be world class at each one of these specialties. So we're going to pretend we're one big team because we're Fort Fargo and nobody's coming. So you can make yourself into a great team without being a team. You can be better than a team. That's what I did, seriously, with every one of my satellites. I'd go in and give this speech. You guys are Fort Wayne, okay?
Fort
you're not, nobody's coming here from Indianapolis, okay? Forget it. You're either going to be good or you're not going to do any business in these areas. And you know what? If you don't do business in these areas, you're losing tons of business. So help each other. Because if you want to be great at one thing, you can be great at that. But you can't be great at everything.
That's good. Thank you.
I have taught management development. I have a whole course on it.
Yeah. Sign me up.
We actually do, Andy. You know, we've got the videos and the book and the whole thing.
No, I
don't
see
it very often anymore. I don't know why. I just, you know. Actually, it was more fun than teaching FAs. Because, you know, those guys like Derek are lonely. They don't know anything. they don't hear from anybody. Nobody coaches them. And yet they're supposed to perform as managers and they're trying to do business. It's like, are you kidding me? So
it is pretty bizarre. It is pretty bizarre when you go to a national managers meeting and they have breakout sessions for producing branch managers. And they're like, okay, we're going to figure out basically what your job is in this room. Like, what are you talking about? I mean, essentially, that's what they're saying. So we all have that round table.
Yeah, let's all just talk about how miserable we're doing. Well, it's true. Everybody feels
just funny. It's just funny to talk to somebody realistically about it. You know,
You know, they keep the job because they don't want anybody else to be the manager. They don't really want to do the job, but they do it out of a sense of, you know, it's the right thing to do. I'm a good guy. I've always been a team player, but I don't have time. I'm trying to run this business. And one of them suffers. Either they're a good manager and they are doing a crappy job of with their clients, or they're great at running a million-dollar business and they suck as a manager because the door is always closed. So yeah. It's very hard to do both. And that's where Supernova is critical for guys like you. If you have any friends, I use the term loosely, but if you have any friends who are producing managers, they should do Supernova or they should have their head examined. Either go be an FA, okay, or do Supernova. If you're going to ever stay as a manager trying to do this stuff, you have to do Supernova. And then you've got to figure out how to do your management job by having everybody else in the office do the job for you, which is what I just described.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting how many challenges this presents in the like in the real world. We're essentially 30 to 40% of staff, you know, in our office. So we don't even have anybody here.
Right.
Except on certain days. But the day that you see everybody here, everybody's here because they have to be here because they're working on some project, they're gearing up for a big meeting or something like that, so they're not really attentive to working together at that point. They're here and they're focused. Otherwise, they're not going to be here, you know. This has been very helpful. I mean, this is really set, you know, sets things in motion. I was going to tell you the things, you know, because this is week 12, I believe we're on. You know, now,
right.
Today, but it's like, you know, so the mentioning, like we were talking about, the touchstone person, you know, how this empowers you. It does give you some focus, an enormous amount of focus, and, you know, with the organization and at least being better prepared. But being better prepared, you know, it's become invaluable. I wish I had some metrics for you for physical condition too, because from the you know, basically the corporate athlete, you know, all of that. I mean, I took it to heart. You know, I mean, I'm running now. I'm dieting. I'm eating better. I'm lifting weights. I was always cycling, but you know, I've expanded it dramatically. So, you know, just the things that I've been able to accomplish in 12 weeks has been, it's been pretty amazing. It's not perfect. I mean, you know that, but
I'm not
a work in progress.
I'm the coach and I'm not perfect.
Good. Just remind me of that.
I did see Jim Everyone's Lair. Wrong. I did see my friend, Dr. Jim Lair, and you got to go to, I don't know how to get it to you. I guess I could email it. I put it on LinkedIn and I put it on Facebook, an interview that he did. And the interviewer was really asked really good questions. But Jim has his book out now. Leading.
I've got that one.
Yeah. Personal Credo. Okay. So the interview was fascinating though, because Jim is now 78. I'm 74. You know, and I recently talked to him. We spent some time and he's going out. He's in Colorado now, back to his home. He was in Florida forever, in Orlando, and then he moved to Naples. And now he's out in Colorado. But he's the real deal. I mean, he's the real deal. You listen to this interview and it's fascinating. The work he's done, you know, the breakthrough work he's done on physiology and psychology of athletes and corporate athletes and, you know, what leads to high performance and how do you maintain high performance? And, he's really done it himself. You know, he and I used to talk. We'd say, okay, so here's what we're going to do. You know, we're going to go max out, not killing yourself, but just peak performance with recovery, you know, in here. And then we're going to crash, then die. And we kind of talked about how long can you do it? As long as you can. You know, you can do it probably till 90, I think.
Have you read the book Younger Next Year?
I do. I love that book.
We have already talked about it. We talked about that. I give that out to clients too. I mail it to them.
Retire. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would really seriously get a team of mastermind group together to handle people that are selling their businesses at retirement. You know, they're going to retire. They're going to transition. And they really need a lot more help than just getting the right price for their business. They need psychological help. You need a good psychologist that would buy into Younger Next Year and Jim Lehrer stuff and help that person and provide that kind of coaching for people that are retiring and for people that are selling their businesses. I think it would get you the extra that Mary brings to Touchstone. Mary cares about her people and the clients. When she's meeting with an FA, the FA feels as though she really cares about them. And you can develop a mastermind group of people that really care about the person that's selling their business, about their family, and that is this the right thing for them at this time. You gotta develop some expertise in it. But with a team, I think you could do that. And it would be a wonderful specialty. It fits in any community. Everybody has people that are retiring, especially now. The baby boomers have been hanging on like me, you know, don't want to quit. And somebody comes along and offers them a lot of money for their business, or they find out their business is worth a lot more than they thought. And they, all of a sudden, they're facing this cliff of nothing, right? It's not like you sell your business. Well, you may stick around for 3 years, but once you're out, and they take over, and anybody tells you that, you know, you're going to be important after you sell your business. No, they're not. Cause they got a vision of what they want to do with it. And then you can understand that.
Right.
So it's like, Andy, how many calls do you get from the company now that you're retired?
In a blue moon.
Zero.
Blue moon. Actually, it's more the other way. It's when you call out to them.
Yeah. And they don't have time to take your calls now. And you were like the most important person in America.
Right.
And Derek, I've done this twice, and each time my wife has laughed, and she said, she's very concise. My wife goes, "You're dead. What do you expect? All the emails, the voicemails, you know, no different than you." It's an interesting process to go from run to dead stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen it. I've got a couple of people that I worry about, but sometimes they get dragged into stuff that's beyond their control too. I've seen that. We got a couple right now that, I don't know, they're just dealing with spousal dementias and Alzheimer's and all that stuff. And
yeah, that's a whole different caregivers. Game. Right? And that's, yeah. That's another something you signed up for, but you didn't know it would come true.
That's right. That's right.
Caregiver.
No, and I, we had a, this is, I know we're going to get long here, but, now my wife had, speaking of unexpected, my wife had to have, surgery for a detached retina.
Oh.
And, it, is, I mean, it's like a big wake up call. Now she's out of work for about, I think it all total would be like a month, you know, that she'll be out of work. But it's one of those huge wake up calls. Like, what are we doing here? What, you know, we need to travel. What if you couldn't see the things that you want to see, you know? So anyway, that happened last weekend, weekend before this past one. So we're now in our second full week dealing with it. So.
All right. So this is kind of where you decide where you want to go.
Okay.
After week 12, we go to once a month and it, you know, when I have teams, I have them report in based on the 5-star model. How are we doing in planning, implementation, brand management? And they're like all screwed up because they pretended that they had their teams organized and pretended that they understood the roles and responsibilities and that they understood the game board and understood the scoreboard. And once they have to report in on it, they're a train wreck, even the best teams. Okay, so that's just because they really aren't familiar with the model. I mean, they are, but they're not. But when they have to actually report, then they're like, what am I exactly supposed to do? You know? So it's, so that is really, by the way, very helpful for big teams. If you have any big teams, get them to understand the value of exactly Fort Fargo. Okay, they're their own Fort Fargo, right? And your team should be special. If you have a team, then you should be specialized not only in products and services, but in roles and responsibilities on the team, planning, director of implementation of the planning process, which includes the investment and 24-month calendar, director of brand management, which includes the 1242 plus rapid response team. Director of marketing is in charge of everything to do with marketing the team, sales and marketing, getting the activity up to get the results in. And then the director of leadership is the person that meets with every team member once a month, just like Henry Swift did. And you can use that example. That's a great example. Had a folder for everybody, met with everybody every month. Well, within a team, somebody's got to do that. Otherwise, the team gets going in 15 directions.
Right.
You can also, I'm working with a team that's really taking this seriously right now. And they're doing they're going back and doing a gap analysis on each one of those areas. We went through what's the gap analysis. You know, what's our competence versus our execution? So you have two things you look at, right? Your ability to do the job of planning director and then your execution. So we may need to get our CFP. So that's part of our plan. So we're a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10. We got to get our CFP so we can be a 10 or an 8 or a 9. And then the number of plans we've done 20% of our clients. So we're a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10. And by the end of the year, we'd like to be on moved from a 6 in ability to an 8 and from a 2 to a 6 in terms of 60% of our clients with a plan. Be a miracle for the team. And that's just one area, right? And then let's look at our investment process. Let's supernova our investment process. Instead of having 300 different mutual funds, let's see if we can build a business model that makes sense that we don't have to make ourselves crazy trying to keep track of. and yet will be current in today's world. So what does that look like? What's our investment process for, you know, the four or five different kinds of clients that come in to see us? This is our asset allocation model for each of those people in those particular, and this is our grid, you know, this is our matrix with all the boxes and who's in and who's out. Do you have a grid with boxes?
I don't. Tell me about that. Is that your, you're talking about from the investment? I mean, I could draw one up. It wouldn't exactly look like a grid, but.
All right. This is what I think you should do with every single client. I don't know if I can find it this fast. Maybe I can. Map investments.
Pressure's on.
Hey, Derek, while he's trying to find that, I've, you know, in my management roles, always had issues with people that, you know, wouldn't do things like the financial planning and whatnot. So I always worked off of success stories. If I could just find somebody that was really, like in the financial planning, if it really led to a particular piece of business or a client, you know how it works. It has to be their idea. That's what Rob has said more than once. And it's tricky because, you know, I'm like you. I think that sometimes I could be a little too authoritarian in when I was managing, and that didn't work. Just
no.
Didn't work.
Testimonials work great. I would never sell a product or service without having somebody stand up and sell it for me. That was a peer of theirs. So if I had to bring in a peer from outside, I would. But remember my five-time rule. One of those five times is a testimonial from a credible source. You know, if people have me talk, right? Like your district, your reach, your complex. Did you see me on a video the other day? They did a sales meeting.
I didn't see it.
Okay. Anyway, that was the wrong one. Sorry. But anyway, I did one for a complex and they just had me talk about Supernova for 7 minutes. Okay. And it was like, I said, can't we get a testimonial? I said, I'm a waste of time compared to a testimonial. Get a testimonial. I'll give up 5 minutes of my 7 minutes.
Okay, so I got a call after that. It may have been after something like that. There's a guy who is, his name is Durham A. Hamilton with Morgan Stanley, and he is considering Supernova. And so I'm your testimonial for him.
Oh, cool.
And we're supposed to talk this week.
Great. Well, thanks. I appreciate
it. So,
that.
Yeah, if that name comes through.
It works. I don't know if you can see this. Can you see it?
I can see the general framework. Yeah.
It's a bunch of, yeah, the boxes, right? This is what I get every month. Now, that's a little hard for somebody to produce every month, but this is all my boxes. So I have, you know, I'll have value, GARP, and growth. Okay. And I'll have international and I'll have, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know how it goes. But to get somebody out of a box, you know, to get somebody in, I got to pull somebody out. And this is just me. This is Rob Knapp, Inc.
Okay.
Okay.
So are those tell me what's in the boxes though. I mean, I know what's in the boxes generally, but specifically what's in the boxes.
Oh, this will be interesting. See, now this isn't current. So this was, 9/30/20. Okay. So, see, they don't even give me the names of the managers or anything. All right. So, you know, it's my family foundation and my CRUT and then my large cap value. So this one, the left hand side is value and MFS LCV, whatever that is. In the middle, I've got a money manager that manages munis, bonds, cash, and then a GARP manager. And then large cap growth, Winslow. I recognize them. And then I do a big chunk because I do better than everybody else. So I just keep growing my piece and dropping other people.
So you have just a self-directed piece that they report on also.
Yeah, oh, sure.
And yeah, this is somebody else preparing this for you, though, right?
Every
this is
month.
Your advisor?
That's what okay. I pay in for.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in there, so you've got the manager. Are they listing performance?
Yeah, what I wanted was upside-downside capture ratio year-to-date and prior year.
Okay.
Like Winslow, okay? Year-to-date, 26% versus 24% for the Russell. And 10 years, 102 versus upside for 10 years, 102, downside 106. So not too great, but not too bad either. So any of the managers, I've got the upside downside capture ratio.
Okay.
Anyway.
Because you could throw a lot of stuff in there, but you figured it out what is most important that you
like.
The only
thing I want is I want year to date and then I want prior year. Because I want to see if the manager has been consistent. You know, it may have had a bad year last year and now he's having a really good year. So, you know, value's gotten crushed, right? But prior year, it was 30% versus 26. Now it was minus 7.62, but this was on 9/30. I bet that minus 7.62 is up this year.
It's probably a plus four right now. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've got little managers here and there and like, I have a manager for my foundation because it's a family deal with my kids on the board and I want to, I help with the asset allocation, but I don't really pick the stocks in there.
Well, the plan can help with the asset allocation. I mean, that's an agreement you can come to without delving into the managers at that point. But so one of the, this is what I consider a big issue for my business. Is back in 94, I started doing PM, you know, where I'm the manager, right? And I don't know if it's the older I've got or the busier I've got, it's hard to really manage. I've got a wide disparity of returns, you know, because some clients I focus more attention on and some I don't. Some are long-term portfolios, but it can become an enormous amount of work. So, but as you're talking about these boxes, it would be awesome to go to my client, and I've got a meeting at 11 that I'm going to be talking about this now, is I can put myself in a box and put these other boxes out there, the asset allocation, and go, look, my box is not the greatest box. I don't want you to fire me as your advisor, but maybe as my portfolio manager, I'm not the guy anymore. And that's been a hard conversation with my clients.
But
I'm
not,
one of the guys.
You're not going to do emerging markets.
I can't, right?
In emerging markets next year will be one of the best performing groups of all.
That's what we're talking about this morning.
And the question is, how much weighting do you have in that? And are you prepared to buy, you know, in China? No. Right. I mean, I buy some for fun, but I have no clue what they're doing when I look at their balance. You know, I do my homework, but, you know, the research on them is terrible. And, you know, so
this is a great tool, a great idea, because I've got, this group of clients, as you meet with them, they want to see certain things every time. And this can be.
I meet every month
a way to get me out.
With my team, and they present, we just take 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and go through this.
Quick.
Mm-hmm. All I want to see is who's doing well, who's not, what's going on. Overall, how am I doing? So I get my overall picture. I look at each manager and see how they're doing. And as you can tell, I kind of know, you know, a little, but I'm not as concerned about, I mean, I know Winslow's done well because they're a growth manager and I like them.
Yeah, right.
And I use them to get ideas too, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
They buy stocks in my portfolio and I check them out and then I say, do I want to, you know, piggyback on that? But remember, I've got time. See, you don't have time. So you got to get, your box needs to get smaller and smaller. Unless you
follow. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to do is.
Yeah.
Is move out, but I can't explain that always to a client. I had one client that he just said, are you saying I need to get a new advisor? And I was like,
different people are really good at different times. Like, you know, I use the equally weighted S&P 500 is where everybody should be going right now. Market weighted to the equally weighted because you're spreading out your performance here and 2000 is going to be, you know, this 2021 is going to be an equally weighted outperformance because the FANGs and everything has done great.
Dominated. That's right. Exactly. Right, so, you've been reading all of our Morgan Stanley research.
Huh?
I mean, you could have written our Morgan Stanley research. That's it.
Yeah, well,
RSP, we got emerging markets.
Good. I use RSP. Over a 10-year period, it's way outperformed. So you got to – now, here's – just to give you an idea. Gold, this is my agenda. Now, this is going to scare you. Okay, so don't – this gets repeated, so don't worry too much. But that's my agenda for that month, okay? And it continues. So it's goals and tracking items, short-term goals, okay, and then retirement, cash flow, prior month, review, and recommendations.
Okay.
So we kind of – now, if I've got 5 minutes and I've got to run – at 4 o'clock, we'll get on there. We'll do 2 minutes on the performance and we'll go right to goals and recommendations. Otherwise, we kind of go item to item, make sure that everything, and she sends me this ahead of time. So then I go through it and make sure that, cause sometimes she doesn't update things. And I'll say, this isn't the same. I've already made that payment to Wake Forest and paid that off. And she, oh yeah, yeah. Okay. I'll change that and so forth. But it keeps track. So I've got a cash flow analysis of exactly how much I'm going to earn based on an after-tax analysis. See how spoiled I am? So I'm actually getting something for my money.
Yeah.
Right?
And we do all this. It's just a matter of making sure it's organized enough and then repeatable, you know, for these clients.
Right. RMD completed, Chris 10,000 completed, Courtney's gift completed, Grat distribution completed, Charlotte's 529 completed, RMD for foundation complete. So that was her summary of what from the previous month. Mm-hmm. So I will tell you she's, you know, the team is, it's a good team. Okay. I can pick from anybody, right? A good team. But we can all learn from it. But why do you think they're doing what they're doing?
That's right.
Because the boss taught them how, okay? And then
built
it for me, and now they use it for everybody.
Beautiful.
But if somebody sees this, they go, wow, you're doing all the crap that you're talking to my – I mean, they said I'm changing estate planning attorneys. They're doing the whole thing. I don't do anything with my CPA. They do everything. They make all the calls. They tell them what to do. So they're like a family office group for me now.
Yeah. Heck yeah, they are.
But the point is that you don't need many of me as clients either. You know, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, mm-hmm. You know, we're good clients. So
No, it's the truth, and that's one of the thoughts that was going through my head. It's like, okay, if you can't do this with everybody, right? I mean,
no.
That's the foundation. That's been from day one we've been talking about that. So then you start to think about this level of service, then that really even narrows your, who do I even want to do this for?
This is 10 million and above.
Yeah, who's gonna appreciate it also, so.
Right,
yeah.
And I,
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. And so they schedule my meetings with my I have an investment committee for my foundation. And so Kim schedules that and she's there. So there's another meeting. We do it quarterly and we just go through and make sure that our performance is matching up with our goals and responsibilities and things like that. So everything is becoming more, serious, a little more organized, a little better. And so we're constantly upgrading and structure and trying to have the process. So it's all about process. Anyway, I don't share that with everybody, but the problem.
Awesome. No, great.
But for you, you're in the perfect position to have to do everything efficiently. Other guys, a regular FA can screw around as much as he wants. But you got two jobs. You got three jobs. You got your home and the family. You got manager and then you've got FA. Okay. And so you got three big jobs. So you really need to do every one of them as efficiently as possible. You cannot screw around at all. You're like a swimmer in college. We swim 5 hours a day in the morning and and you get all A's because you're good. Swimmers always got all A's because they had to be disciplined like crazy.
Yeah, they are. They're disciplined. So I got a coach, a Garmin coach. That's what I'm doing. So I've got a virtual coach, but it's just a real person for my running.
Oh, good.
That's been a real education. Because I think I may have told you, and I'm abusing y'all's time now, but my dad's 86 and can hardly walk. So we've been doing this a while now, I feel like. But I went and visited him. I may have told you that, and he couldn't hardly walk, and he's been falling down a bunch. So it made me think about it. It was about the same time we were talking about some of this other. And I realized I hadn't run. I hadn't actually run in like 15 years. I hadn't run anywhere. I cycled everywhere. I mean, I've been thousands of miles on my bike, but I haven't run anywhere. But it's been a big learning experience. When you're talking about the swimming, it's a very slow process to get back in because you have to manage so you don't get hurt.
Right.
Because you can really get hurt. Yeah, running. So they take into account your age and your everything. And it's just a very slow, and sometimes it gets a little frustrating because you feel like you're going so slow, but it's a constant reminder from the coach that, it's supposed to be like that. And it's one of the values of the coaches, like they're always there. So anyway,
that's a great thing. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think I actually don't know that I pay anything. It's part of a Garmin thing. When I bought the watch and my setup and the apps, and I may pay something for it. I don't know what I pay. Maybe like $5 a month or something.
Garmin
go
Connect.
Through on that.
Garmin Connect, right?
Yeah, Garmin Connect. Yeah, and then so every day they feed me what I'm supposed to be doing, for the next week, and then I log it, and it gives me feedback, and they provide, coaching throughout the week in the form of articles that are just released. I mean, it's an incredible value.
Build a team of mutually beneficial enthusiasts in your office that want to do this and coach them through it. Show them what you're doing, how you're doing it, the technology, the coaching, and say, hey, come on, let's do this together.
Mm-hmm.
People need leadership. They desperately love it. My friend Tom Cross, and I got to go, we both do, but my friend Tom Cross 10 years ago, in 2006, started to lead teams because a friend of his dropped dead in the parking lot. Actually died in his car of a heart attack. And this was, you know, Tom's 70 now, so he was probably 60 then. And he said, we're going to go hike. We're going to go all over the world. We're going to do what we've been talking about doing forever. And so for every year for 10 years, we all hiked all over the world. And I would never have gone on any of those hikes if it hadn't been for Tom Cross.
Wow. Wow.
And I've got books and maps on my walls of the Himalayas and Machu Picchu and, you know, big table books of beautiful pictures. And when I'm 85, I can look and see, you know, it's fun. And my granddaughter goes, you went there? Yeah. So get them on the train. They want leadership. They need leadership. And it's more fun when you do it with other people. So, you know, we take 16 people to the Himalayas to go to hike the base camp. You know.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, hey, Derek, it sounds like Rob in retirement. There's three phases in retirement. There's the go-go years, there's the slow-go years, and there's the no-go years.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Rob is going to stay in the go-go years until he just hits the no-go, which is a long way.
I like that. That's the way to go. Seriously.
Leave you guys with that.
Now, think about it. Wouldn't you rather die at 90, having gone hard as hell, and then die? Or would you want to start at 80 and just start deteriorating and live to 95? What the hell good are those last 5 years?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's miserable. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So stay strong.
All right, guys. I can't tell you how much I appreciate y'all.
A friend, somebody said this to me. Was it you that said this? Stay thirsty, my friend.
All right.
I love that.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
All right. I'll be seeing y'all soon.
Bye.
Bye.